thank you for downloading the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. This is a continuation of our special episodes where we sit down with some of the finest wrestling talent in the world today, especially focusing on the European scene. And I have a great show ahead for you today as we sit down with Fight Factory Wrestling's Academy Champion and possible future of the business, Will Cruz, and he's joined by the man who's taken him under his wing. It is British commentary legend from Southside Wrestling, now residing at Fight Factory Wrestling. It is Dale Mills. A fantastic interview. It was really fun to do, and I can't wait for you to hear it. You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, and let's get started with the show.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling in association with Siren 107.3 FM. And I have two very special guests in the studio with me now from Fight Factory Wrestling. It's Will Cruz and Dale Mills. How are you doing, guys?
Good evening. Very well, thank you.
Yeah, good time, buddy.
Now, you guys are here today to talk about lots of stuff, your careers and everything that's coming up in the world of Fight Factory Wrestling as well. So, Will, we'll start with you first. When did you first start watching professional wrestling?
I'd say around 6 or 7 years old. Obviously watching it on Sky in the afternoons after coming home from school. Briefly stopped due to not having the Sky Sports subscription anymore. And then restarted probably at the age of 16, 17, and then not stopped from there.
And what about yourself, Dale?
Well, I'm a little bit older than Will, so my first foray into the world of wrestling was probably when I was about 4 or 5. My first memory of wrestling was probably sat on my dad's knee watching World of Sport. It would have been somewhere, I would assume, Lincolnshire base, when they used to do the different shows like around the ring. So that's when I first started. That was a long time ago.
Well, it's great to have two different opinions here, and it's going to be a great interview. So let's get on with a couple of the questions that we've got. And you started your career at Fight Factory then, Will?
I did, yes. Around a year, just over a year ago now. I was 19 years old when I started my professional wrestling career.
Wow.
So, yeah, not looked back since either. It's been one of those weird journeys, I'd say.
Was it always the thing that you wanted to do as a kid?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously, I started watching it when I was young, but we no longer had the subscription. Like, during my early teenage years, so I stopped watching it, and then my girlfriend actually bought me a ticket to go and see a live WWE event in Nottingham 2 years ago, and I went with my friend, and he said to me, "Oh, Will, you're quite a big guy, have you ever thought about giving it a go?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I haven't actually," because obviously you speak to your friend and you're like, "Oh, what do you do?" "Oh yeah, I play rugby or netball, hockey, whatever sport you want to talk about," but no one ever seems to say, "Oh yeah, I do professional wrestling," but then obviously when you join the sport, everyone seems to do it, so it's brilliant, it's amazing.
And where did you start your career, Dale?
Well, it was about 11 years ago. I got into it purely by accident. A friend of mine had a wrestling shop based in Doncaster that sold wrestling merchandise, and I bought some stuff off of him, went back to see him a couple of times, and he said that he was starting a British promotion. Well, I took it with a pinch of salt, because at that point, wrestling wasn't the hotbed that it is now in the UK. It was basically the FWA that were sort of running shows, and a few independents, and obviously All Star, which is run forever and a day. And then he started up this promotion. I went as a fan for a year, just helping out, setting up the ring, setting up the merch tables. And that was really all I wanted to do, to be honest. I was quite happy being a fan. And then he was flying commentators and ring announcers in from the States on his shows, this fella. And he realised that was a colossal waste of money. So he approached me and my friend Adam, and we said, yeah, we'll do the commentary. We'd never done anything like it before. I trained at Hammerlock a few years prior to this and did quite a few sessions to the point where I could put a match on, but I never really went any further due to my work commitments. So I'd kind of been out of the game a little bit. But then when this promotion started up, 1PW, you may have heard of it. Yeah, it's quite an infamous name in the world of British wrestling for many, many reasons. I was always treated fairly well by them. And when they asked me if I wanted to do it, I said, yeah. I thought, why not? So I took the plunge, did a couple of post-production DVD recordings of some commentary, stunk the joint up, but stuck at it. And then I find myself sort of 10 years later, I retired, but I'm being dragged back in a little bit by helping out Wilkes. You know, I see big things for him.
So how did you guys get to know each other then?
Fight Factory.
Yeah, Fight Factory Wrestling, actually. I think the first time I met Dale, I was actually helping Fight Factory out as a referee before I started wrestling, and it was at a show, and Dale gave me a right telling off for distracting, obviously, the crowd from the wrestlers and myself trying to get into the limelight. So that was the first time I remember Dale, speaking to Dale. But then since then, we haven't clashed heads since, and we haven't looked back, have we?
No, it's been good. I started to go to the training sessions on the Thursday, the advanced classes, and because I had another friend who was training to be a wrestler, and he was like, oh, come along, you know, give us a bit of input, help us out. You know, as I've been in the business 10 years, I picked up a fair bit of knowledge. You know, I've been to seminars with, like, Steve Carino, Dave Finley, Kid Cash, you know, and I went to all these, like, to learn, and I took it all in. So all I'm doing is passing on the knowledge that I've picked up from, you know, even up until my very last weekend in pro wrestling, where I travelled with Martin Kirby and El Ligero and Robbie X. I still picked up a bunch of stuff that I didn't know. And I'm thinking, oh, this is like 10 years later and I'm still learning. And even though I was retired, I felt like I still had something that I could give and help out. So I started going to the training on a Thursday, and there's a good core bunch of lads and lasses there. And anything I can do to help is, you know, it's great. It's like me passing what I've been passed on to me. And obviously, like, I saw something quite special in Will, so that's why I took him under my wing a little bit.
So Fight Factory Wrestling has pretty much dragged you back into
the
game.
Yeah, yeah, more than I probably should be, to be honest, if you talk to my wife. But yeah, it's great just to be able to keep in it a little bit without actually being fully into it. And, you know, I've got all the time in the world for Becca and Hayden, and, you know, I appreciate them letting me go to the training sessions and, like, you know, giving some input and helping out and stuff, sort of character development wise and things to do, when to do stuff, when not to do stuff, that kind of thing. And like I said, there's Will, Brett, Tommy, you know, Chantel, there's loads of good core good guys there that could easily go on and be big.
What was it that brought you into retirement then, originally?
Into what, sorry?
Retirement. Did you say you retired?
Yeah, I retired, yeah, after 10 years. I always said that I would retire once I became a dad.
Ah.
So I became a dad. and then it was just a case of I couldn't commit the time to doing shows. Weekends became precious. You know, my daughter's only two. And it was a case of, like, I can't. Sometimes you'd be doing a Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, not coming home till stupid o'clock. And my wife used to come with me, and she used to, when I worked at Southside, which was primarily where I worked towards the end of my career, she would help with the merchandise. So she would drive, and, you know, I got on really well with Ben and Sarah, who run Southside. Again, you know, I've got all the time in the world for them, and for some of the opportunities that they gave me was incredible. But I always said to them, look, you know, if I become a dad, I'm going to have to jack it in. And they were like, yeah, cool, no worries. So they were cool with that. And I did retire. And now, like I say, I'm sort of paddling treading in the waters thin, again. Yeah, I'm sticking my toe in a little bit.
It seems to be a pattern with the professional wrestling industry, though. People will retire and then they'll come back.
Yeah, I've always maintained that I would never get back in the ring or do any commentary or do any ring announcing or managing anybody, because I've been there, done majority of that, and I really enjoyed it. But I think I am quite happy passing my knowledge on now.
That's really cool. Now, Will, when you started just over a year ago at Fight Factory Wrestling, and where did it all begin? What made you walk in that door for that first time, and what was it like when you walked into what is now the old Academy building?
It was a bet, actually. strangely enough, my friend said to me, "Oh, bet you won't do it. Bet you won't go. Wrestling's for kids and everything." So I, after the live event, obviously, which I went to with my friend, I googled places where you can train, and obviously there was a few which came up, but Fight Factory was the closest to where I live, because I'm not based in Lincoln, I'm based in Worksop, and obviously Fight Factory was the closest, like I just said, and so it all started with a bet, and obviously I walked through those doors, and there was no turning back. I loved my first session. And I'm going to say this. I still thought it was real.
Oh,
I did.
Okay.
Until training and everything. I'm still a big kid, actually. I know I probably shouldn't have said that, but...
No, I think that's quite... It shows something about yourself. And
I think wrestling's amazing. The stories you can tell and how you can have people in the palm of your hand from just simply just being in the ring. It's amazing.
So who was it that sort of smartened you up to the fact that it was maybe not all what
well,
you thought?
I didn't actually let on that I thought it wasn't real until probably now, actually. but I was training, obviously, Hayden's the head coach, and we were going through bumps, so obviously...
Yeah.
Most wrestling matches, well, probably all wrestling matches, have at least one bump in them. So obviously it was first session I ever did was bumping into a wrestling ring, which is obviously wrestling is just basically like not a wrestling ring, a boxing ring, sorry, is basically like falling onto a concrete floor. It's solid, and I just remember Hayden saying, "Right, we're going to practice how to land." And obviously I was just there thinking in my head, "Why do we need to practice? Surely, obviously,
it's just something you get used to.
It's just something you do,
and I'm not like, going to lose. So,
yeah,
you know.
Obviously, if you get hit, and I obviously don't plan on falling on the floor. But I didn't let on altogether that I thought it was real. But I thought it was obviously predetermined, should we say? Not.
I think that's the right word. Yeah.
We're not going to use fake because that's just ridiculous. I can see.
Yeah. I'm looking over.
I'm kind of regretting that I just said
Will,
it on
with the regret in his eyes right now. So. But no, I think that's a really cool story. And so your first training session, you worked on bumps. Where did it go from there? Who was your first opponent?
My first opponent was, I want to say. In fact, no, it was a rumble. I was in a rumble first. So all the academy guys were thrown in, and it was to the top four guys left in the rumble were to determine for the academy championship. I said that loads. The academy championship. And so we had the rumble first, and then I was fortunate enough to be one of the last four. And then my first match was against Kai Anderson, my first singles match. He's a little lad, quite a young lad, and I think he stopped wrestling now. I don't know if that was through me or because his last match was my match. So I don't know if that was something I did or whatever. But
Will
so it was
the career killer.
Yeah, the talent killer. And then Kai was my first match, and then I had a few matches with Brett Myers, Magic Myers. I won the academy title in my second match, which was against Brett Myers. And then I've had a few bouts with Brett, and then I'm just starting to obviously progress now. I've had a match with Joey Osborne. I'm trying to think who else. Eddie Martins, just recently. That was at Fight Night at Market Raisin. And then we've got Cleethorpes. We're at Cleethorpes on the 19th of May at the Beachcomber, and I'm not sure who I'm on with yet. But looking forward to it.
And the tag match against the Hooligans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. Don't know how I can forget that. I had a tag match with the UK Hooligans at Cleethorpes and I was tagging with Dale Preston. And that was that's probably my most memorable.
That memorable that you forgot.
Yeah, I know. The cliche that is probably the most memorable match I've had, actually, and being in the ring with...
What is it like to be... Because I've seen those guys live now twice. They are hard-hitting guys. They do not throw their punches.
No, it's phenomenal. I mean, I look up to Zach as someone who I aim to be like, because he's a similar size to me. And obviously Roy's been in the business for over 20 years. So it's just phenomenal, the experience they have. And like, you can learn so much just from being in the ring with them. I know it's probably not the nicest thing to be in the ring with them at the time, especially if you're against them. Because obviously they don't throw the punches and it is hard hitting, but it was just phenomenal.
It was really good.
Phenomenal.
There we go, phenomenal.
Phenomenal. How about you leave that one?
Yeah.
And since we're doing a lot of name dropping as well now, Dale, who are some of the names that you've been in the ring with, some of your proudest opponents?
Well, from a wrestling standpoint, I didn't actually get in and wrestle all that often. I had, when I was in Southside, I actually had an ongoing feud with another, because obviously I was a commentator / ring announcer, and there was a manager who was representing House of Pain, called Harvey Dale, and we had a Survivor Series match, and it was loser leave Southside, and on my team was the Hunter Brothers and Bob Holly, which is kind of cool, and on Dale's side was SC Supreme, Max Angelus, and Nathan Cruz, and I was sole survivor, so I stayed on, and Harvey Dale went.
So just being around all these big names, and great talent as well, must be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in the second, third, fourth year of 1PW, it was a who's who of independent wrestlers, and we used to go pick them up from the airports or go back to the hotel after the shows, and I just used to sit there listening to them talk and tell all these stories, and I was just learning everything about the business, like the travel, even though, you know, I probably wasn't going to do a lot of it, but a lot of it I used and manipulated to help me along with my commentary, because that first year I did it, I was awful. And both me and my mate Adam Curtis, who did it, we would just sit there and we'd listen back to it and we'd be like, oh my God, that's horrific. But I used what people were saying about the business and how they approached things and how they did things, and going to the seminars with Steve Carino and people like that. And that first, like, 3 or 4 years in 1PW, they did a lot of, like, of the in-ring seminars before the shows. Nigel McGuinness, Darren Burridge, you know, it was a who's who of independent wrestlers came through. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christian, Abyss, you know, you'd just be like, everybody. And if I could get 5 minutes with them and just ask them a couple of questions, I'd be like, that's cool, I'll just take that and I'll use that. And then if I was sat in the hotel and they were just shooting the breeze, I'd be listening thinking, oh, that's incredible. Oh, I'd never thought of that. I'll take that on board. I'll use that. That's great. So from a getting in the ring standpoint, I had a couple of arm wrestling matches, as you do in an entertainment business. Again, when it was in the Harvey Dale feud in Southside. But my knowledge came from being the commentator and watching the matches unfold in front of me. It's a different beast from getting in the ring and having to talk sort of maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours, depending on how many shows and how long shows. I mean, 1PW is notorious for like one show being like 6 hours long, and that's a lot of wrestling to talk about. And, you know, as hard as it is for the guys under the lights, and I never take anything away from, because what they do is phenomenal.
Cheap plug.
And, it's, you know, it's a different beast doing the commentary, and I kind of hope that I was doing my bit in putting the stories over, the angles over, the people over, and, you know, adding to the whole situation of professional wrestling.
What's the favourite match that you have called?
Oh, I knew you was going to ask me that. That is, it'd have to be something with Tommy ending, I would imagine. Oh, it's so hard. There was a fantastic triple threat match in Southside, which had Ligero in it, Tommy End and AR Fox. I'm not traditionally a huge fan of triple threat matches because they always boil down to one guy getting thrown out of the ring and selling for like 10 days for something that they would just normally get up for and get back in. But this was just straight off from the first bell, high impact. All three guys stayed in the ring and it was a pleasure to call. Oh, other than that, from a pure sort of maybe wrestling standpoint, 1PW, Darren Burridge versus Nigel McGuinness. They had a stretch of matches where each one got better. They did Iron Man matches, did submission matches, and you know they did a 45-minute match. And I went, it's the soundbite was on Greg Burridge's little promo video thing. He said it was the best pure wrestling I've ever seen, and it probably was. Watching as much as I did and calling as much as I did over a 10-year period, it's just impossible. I could watch something on DVD and go, oh, that's the greatest match I'd ever seen and I've ever called. And then I'd watch something else and go, no, hang on a minute, that was. And oh, no, wait a minute, that match there was fantastic. Another one off the top of my head in Southside, Martin Kirby versus Joel, the referee, was just insane. It was an angle that was built up and it culminated in a street fight. And it was just, and I actually was retired at that point. And as a favour, I came out and just did that one match, the main event for Martin Kirby as a special favour. And again, it was just a pleasure to be a part of something that was just insane.
So do you think that Becker and Dutch are going to be able to convince you to get onto commentary?
They've tried. Like I said, I'm happy helping out and passing on my knowledge. And they've got a great guy, Dan, who does the commentary. And, you know, he's really, really good. So they don't really need me to do commentary or ring announcing. They've got that covered.
Yeah, Dan is brilliant. He does a fantastic job. And now, Will, let's talk about your sort of... You've got your whole career ahead of you. Who is your dream opponent for Fight Factory and for anyone in the wrestling business?
In Fight Factory at the minute, I'd really like to have a match with Robbie X. I've been on the same show with him a few times now, and I've seen Robbie work, and he's phenomenal. He really is. He is really that good. So I'm hoping that in a few shows to come, that me and Robbie can have a bout and clash heads. I think that's the term. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clash heads. I've wrestled Joe obviously in Fight Factory, and I would really like to have a match with Hayden. Obviously, he's the head coach. So it'd be good to clash with him and obviously the knowledge he's and see what I've learned from him and use it obviously against him and I think that'd be a good one as well, because obviously he's a heavyweight and I'm a heavyweight as well.
So. Well, it's funny that you say that, because when Tommy Ryder was here a couple of months ago, he was saying that one of his dream opponents of Fight Factory is to be able to get in the ring with Dutch.
Yeah.
And that only happened a couple of days ago as well.
It did, yes. Him and Tommy did come up short. But yes, I'm quite envious of him actually for that one. It was actually a really good match as well, so...
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X. Oh,
sometimes I get a good feeling. Now, I've had a couple of... I asked on the fan interaction page for a couple of questions to see what people wanted to know. That we got in was from a guy called Aston, who said that he's wanting to become a professional wrestler, and he's a bit of a bigger guy like yourself.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give him?
Go to sessions, go to seminars, and if he's local to the area, just come to the new Dutch Courage gym. It's, I went for the first time over a year ago and I've never looked back, and everyone's so welcoming, and it doesn't matter what shape or size you are, there's a place and there's a spot for everyone in professional wrestling. I know the wrestling's kind of dominated at the minute by a lot of very muscular and short, well, not short, but obviously very muscular and very defined muscle types. But obviously you go back to the WCW days and you have people like Vader and that's all I know. I didn't really watch it, but I'll have to ask Dale for
Bam Bam Bigelow.
There you go.
Stan Hansen.
Venus, is that one? No, not Venus. Viscera. He was a big guy, wasn't he?
He was a big guy, yeah.
There are spaces for everyone in pro wrestling, and you've got to grab it by the horns, really. You literally have to let pro wrestling consume you. It's great. I mean, I didn't think I'd be into it as much as what I am now a year ago, and to some people's regret that I am a lot into it. It is scary, but no. Aston, all I can say is just go to sessions, join a gym, go to your nearest, find out where your nearest wrestling training school is, and just give it a go. And obviously, if it's not for you, it's not for you, but pro wrestling is amazing. The things it does and like the people you meet from it is just, it's second to none.
Yeah, it's a good building confidence, isn't it?
Yeah, in the wrestling. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you know, it's good for exercise. You know, it's good to keep in shape, get in shape, whatever shape you want to be. You know, there's always gym, weights, but it's, you know, certainly from the Fight Factory point of view, if he's Lincoln based and he's local and he can get to Fight Factory, it is like a big family there, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing.
He'll be welcomed and he will get from it whatever he wants to take from it.
Let's take a moment now to talk about, because you mentioned it, the new Dutch Courage gym that's been opened. It opened earlier this week, I believe.
This current Monday it's opened.
There's been a lot of work put into it by Becca, by Hayden, and it seems like it's a fantastic environment for people who are either just starting out in wrestling or continuing their journey to learn.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember one of the first actual seminars I had was with Johnny Storm. And we were just sitting and talking to him, and obviously Johnny's been in the business a long, long time. And he said to us, we don't realise how lucky we are when we do get a chance to go in the wrestling ring and practice. Because he said, I think it was Johnny who said that he first learned on just mats on the floor, and he was doing bumps for the first 3 years on mats. So to have a facility like Dutch Courage, it's just phenomenal. I mean... I had a week in Norwich. Sorry to go off on a tangent.
No, it's fine.
But I had a week in Norwich at WAW at the Grapplers Gym, and it was just you were in a wrestling ring from 9 till 5 for the whole week, and the amount I picked up and learned just in that week was amazing. Just being able to be in the ring, take bumps, run the ropes, just simple things like that. And have training sessions, and it was just amazing. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you there. How was it down at WAW? Because they're obviously an amazing company, a lot of prestige in them.
Yeah, they've been going. They have been going for a long time. And I don't know if they do realize how lucky they are to have what they have. But it just goes down to how nice you are as well. I mean, Ricky and Julia and Zach and Roy, they're just phenomenal people, and they will help you if you ever ask them if you need it.
So Fight Factory Wrestling, of course, you mentioned, is just a big family with loads of great individuals down there. And who would you guys say are the ones that you should be looking out for?
Will. Just Will, no one else.
Other than Will.
Tommy's only young. He's 16 years old, and he's already been wrestling for 4 years now, 4-5 years. So Tommy's got a very bright future ahead. I mean, he's 4 years younger than me, so I'm quite jealous of the fact that he is younger. Magic Myers, Brett. I don't know whether to call him by his wrestling name or his full name.
That's one of the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Brett, he only started 6-7 months ago, and he's picked it up so quickly. So Brett, Tommy, Chantel is probably the best. Well, she is the best female we have at Fight Factory, and Chantel's got a very bright future ahead of her as well. I think
it's fair to say that, like, you wouldn't pigeonhole her as a great female wrestler. She's just a great wrestler.
Yeah.
You know,
You
know, you'd look at her, she's got a unique look, and, you know, she should end up on every poster. you know, cause she looks like a wrestler, like a female wrestler, but she is a great wrestler.
In general,
you wouldn't just say, oh, she's a great, stick her in with a girl, she's great, she'll be able to carry them girls or whatever. You'd think, oh, yeah, let's have her in a wrestling match. You know, she...
And
she's, I mean, like everybody, like I said, like 10 years in the business, she's still learning. She's still learning, but what she can do already is fantastic. And, you know, as long as she carries on the way she does and she's got her head screwed on and she does and she keeps applying herself like she does, you know, it's not a pipe dream anymore to think that one day somebody like Will, Brett, Tommy, Chantel, you know, and the other guys in like Draco,
yeah.
I reckon he's fantastic. He's come on such a long way in such a short time. But you know, like 10, 15, 20 years ago when I was watching wrestling, if I wanted to get into it, getting to WWE would be like, never. It's a pipe dream. Just watch it on telly. But now you're looking and they've got UK tournaments, UK shows, guys on NXT from the UK. And it's no longer just like a whimsical dream to think one day I'll be wrestling in the WWE ring. Guys are doing it.
You know, still very hard, obviously. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. The dedication and the what you need to do to get there is unparalleled, but it's doable.
It's more of a reality now than
yeah, absolutely.
What's your guys' opinion on the current product internationally for professional wrestling? Then
I love all wrestling. I've been watching it from a very early age, and my dad, when he was in his 20s, he used to be a wrestler. And he used to do like the Lincoln Circuit, like Lincoln Cleethorpes, Grimsby, and that's how I got into it. So I was clued up from an early age that it was all a put on, because you know I'm not an idiot. But because my dad obviously he would go and I'd come home and after watching it, and he would put me in holes and show me how to do moves and tell me how the magic, you know, literally like killing it for me. But I enjoyed it more because of it, I think, because I knew that it was all like one big show. I got immersed in it more, and I think that helps even now, even though, you know, kayfabe is pretty much dead. You go on the network and there's shows like where the guys are in the car chatting to each other, and you think, well, you two were fighting each other last week and now you're chit-chatting in a car.
And shows like this one.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, like, when you watch a show, whether it be a live show, Fight Factory, or WWE, or Pro Wrestling Noah, or New Japan, or wherever you want to go, Ring of Honor, Evolve, I think if you can lose yourself in the product, in the wrestling that you see, in the characters, in the angles, I think that's where you get the most enjoyment from it. So I like watching everything. I'll just, you know, I'll watch and I'll be like, oh, and I'll be marking out to stuff, and I just get involved. I just love it. I think that all wrestling has got something. You know, it's like they always say, it's like a circus, isn't it? Wrestling, there's something for everybody. You know, you might not like the trapeze artist, but you might like the clowns, you know. And I think the same with wrestling. You might watch some wrestling, Japan, and you might not like some of the hard-hitting ones that they do, the style of the matches, but then they might do something that's a little bit comedy or something. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that. You know, it's something for everybody, and I just like it all.
I think that's a great attitude to have. And, Will, what about yourself?
Will doesn't watch wrestling.
I'm not the same. Wrestling has changed a bit. As long as it makes sense to me, so as long as the storyline or what the wrestlers are trying to like get to by the end of the match, as long as it makes sense, I don't mind it. But these wrestlers now who are kicking out of 30 super kicks, for example, or not even pinned, or just stuff like that, and to me, it's like, if you get kicked in the face, you get kicked in the face. It's
how do you feel that affects your job then as a professional wrestler? Do you think that if kids are seeing, you know, wrestlers on TV kicking out of 30 super kicks and then you laying down for one super kick, does that really affect your job then and make it a bit more difficult for you?
I guess so. It does make it harder, but obviously, I mean, Shawn Michaels used the super kick as his finish for over, I don't know how long he was wrestling, but 20, I'm going to go 20 years.
Forever.
Maybe longer, I don't know. And obviously, when he hit that sweet chin music, it was like, wow, that was amazing. And obviously, most people didn't get up from it unless it was a special circumstance. Whereas, obviously, Shawn's now retired and people are using it as a go-to move. And it annoys me, but it's wrestling. Wrestling's evolving, and it's becoming what it is, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, it goes back to something for everybody.
Yeah.
You might not enjoy the indie-rific thigh slap fest kick-out spots and all that, where someone else probably will. But you kind of hope that on a show, the next match you see might be two big lads just beating the hell out of each other, and you might really enjoy that. So you can be like, oh, yeah, I didn't quite get that, but this is what I like. This is my style.
Yeah, you know, like, there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Fight Factory Wrestling do really well, actually, because... Like, I'll sit there at most shows, and sometimes when I go to the child-friendly ones as well, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll go, you know, not every match is for me, but that's not the point. The point is that, you see the kids loving it, and that means so much more.
Yeah, like, kids are the best.
When I have kids myself, I will bring them to Fight Factory events because I have not seen another promotion in my time of going and watching wrestling that cater that much to all of the family.
Yeah, we do look at it. I mean... Storytelling's great, and it's all about getting that one. If you can get one kid, you can get every kid. So if you can entice one kid, say on the front row, that you're, say if you're the bad guy, you're actually beating him up and beating the good guy up. If you can get that one kid to believe you're actually hurting him, then you've got all the kids, and it's great. It really is. To have loads of kids screaming at you or cheering for you, it's...
Have you had any of those sort of funny moments yet where the kids have got so angry at you as a heel?
It was weird, actually, because at Market Raisin on last Friday, I did actually make a little girl cry. proud moment as a professional wrestler, and obviously keeping character-wise, but not so proud as on a personal scale, because I did feel sorry for her, but I did my job at the end of the day. Obviously, I'm supposed to be a bad guy, and I couldn't have done anything more, I don't think, making a little kid cry.
I've done, 15 years of pantomimes every Christmas, so I know what you mean. Yeah. In that sort of sense, you mean.
It is, but, and then obviously all the kids hating at you and like trying to hit you as well as you walk past them. It is great, as long as you don't hit them back, obviously.
I don't think that's something that we would encourage.
It's amazing.
Now, you threw out a name earlier, and that was Magic Brett Myers.
Yes.
And you had a match with... You've had two matches with him at the Engine Shed.
Yeah.
I've been in attendance for both of those. The first one especially that I want to bring up, that was match of the night.
You think? Dear, thank you very much.
I remember... Because
what, the one where...
Where I joined the agency.
Where you joined the agency.
Yes. that was quite... What?
Carry on.
What's wrong?
Man of a million bumps, but carry on.
Now, that was quite a surreal night for me, obviously joining the heel stable, and because obviously me and Brett were good friends. Well,
you are good friends. It's okay.
Yeah, me and Brett are good friends in real life, and it's and obviously building that storyline as we were best friends and now we're not, and like having the crowd think, oh, he's just turned on his best friend just to join some cheap agency. It's because obviously the agency is hated by most supporters. It were amazing just to have the crowd there, and then obviously I won the match fairly, and then to then do what I did to him after the match to get the crowd to hate me. It was I don't know how to describe it really. It's just, sorry, I'm a bit lost.
What do you prefer working as, babyface or heel?
I prefer working as a heel simply because I find it a lot easier to be angry. And obviously, being a big guy, I guess the crowd cheer for you when you come out. Obviously, because you're a big guy, and it's like, oh, this guy looks cool or looks serious. But being a heel, it's so much fun just being able to basically do what you want, really. Well, to a certain extent.
Like making little girls cry.
Like mate. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot easier as well it's a lot easier to get the crowd to boo you than it is for them to cheer you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Although I do smile a lot. That's my only downfall, I think. That's why I wear the gum shield.
Ah,
it's not just
find a little bit of the magic there.
Yeah, that's what that's for.
And Dale, why when you've taken Will under your wing, and what Not maybe not literally, but what is it about him that you think he's doing really well right now?
I would say his willingness to learn, like a lot of them in Fight Factory, they want to learn, they want to take on board what. I go along on a Thursday, and I've always said, this is what I'll advise you. If you can take it, you can leave it. As long as you listen to me and you think you can walk on and say, well, he's an idiot. I don't understand or agree what he's saying. And Will's the same. I could say to him, like, I reckon you should do this and do this and not do that. And he could be like, yeah, cool. And then walk off and think, well, I am going to do that because I like it. Or, you know, I say, like, don't leave your feet, Will. And then he does a drop kick. He's like, what are you doing, Will? You're like slipped on a banana.
Or a moonsault.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's like a bit of a running joke, really, about sort of taking Will under my wing, because there's a lot of people there that I'm quite happy to help and I want to see do well, like Tommy, like Chantel, like Draco, like Ed. You know, I'm quite happy to give as much as they want to take. Will, I think the reason he's a little bit of a special case, aren't you, Will, is because of his sheer size and his athleticism with that size. You know, it's cliched, you know, he's like Bray Wyatt used to say, and he's like built like a tank and speed of a Ferrari and all that. But Will is, because he plays rugby, because he's quite thick, when he comes out and he looks like a wrestler. I think sometimes that some people come out, and I've been to other places and watched other wrestling, and the guy comes through the curtain and you think, yeah, is he a wrestler? Oh, I'm not quite sure. He's a bit, you know. But when Will comes through and you look at him, you think, oh, yeah. He looks like a wrestler. You know, he's got the singlet, got the gum shield, comes out. And
it is weird. I mean, walking through that curtain and just being able to turn it on, it's something I found difficult at first. But, it's all about looking the part. So, obviously, if I don't believe I'm a bad guy or if I don't believe I'm a wrestler, then how am I going to be able to make the crowd believe I'm a wrestler?
The biggest hurdle was getting Will to believe he's actually 6 foot tall. Because he'd be like, I'm not big.
Just
I'm
a bit,
like,
you're a bit taller as well.
Yeah, well, 6 foot two.
Yeah.
But he'd be like, I'm not big enough. I'm not big enough to do that. I'm like, dude, you're 6 foot. Like, you're big enough to do that. Oh, I'm not big enough to do that. You're big enough. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not too big enough. I'm like, you are big enough. You're like 6 foot two. And that was like 6 months of trying to nail into him that he's like, he is big enough and he is a wrestler, rather than like, oh, well, I'm not big enough. I'm like, well, you are big enough.
It was difficult at stage because I
came close to tapping out. I can't deal with this man anymore. He's 6 foot and he thinks he's 4 foot.
It's just because when I first started, it was more of the case of not hurting anyone on purpose. Obviously, no one wants to hurt anyone, and if they do, they shouldn't be in wrestling. So when I first started, it was, and when obviously Dale first came along and started giving his advice to me, it was just the fact that, oh, I don't want to do that because, like, I don't want to hurt anyone, or, but obviously then it's learning how to do it in a certain way, that, like, telling that story and just believing that you are, because obviously that is what wrestling is. Obviously, it's just believing in something, really.
Yeah, I mean, even to the point of like your last seminar that you had with Nathan Cruz.
Yes.
And you were doing bumps and. When you did the little sequence with Brett.
Oh yes, the international.
Yeah, that's the international football name of it. and even then, Nathan said just off the cuff, he was like, "All right, yeah, and I want you to bump to Brett, even though you know in reality you won't do that because you're a big guy, but I want you to bump."
Yeah.
And you know, even Nathan, who'd only just come, to do the seminar, and again, fantastic guy, been around the business a long time, got a lot of knowledge that he's picked up along the way. And for him to say that just off the cuff, sort of reinforcing the fact that I tried to drill into you for the past 6 months, yeah. You know, you are a big guy. And that's, I think, what has made you, for me, stand out because of your sheer size and your speed and your power and the fact that your willingness to learn and, to listen not just to me, but to anybody that comes and does a seminar, anybody that offers you any advice. Like I said, you might not take it, you might not agree with it, but you listen. And that's all from a standpoint from me and other people that come along, is all you can ask and that's why, to go back to the original question, is that that's why I like Will, because he does as he's told.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
Where would you say is your sort of room for improvement then for yourself when you're putting targets on yourself? Where would you say in your repertoire you need a little bit more improvement on?
At the minute, speaking, I am terrible. You probably noticed and realised as well, I am terrible at speaking. Like, when I think about what I'm going to say, my brain literally just vomits words into my head. So it is terrible, and then I'll end up mumbling. And that'd be terrible. So yeah, speaking and promoing is another, promoing's a big side from what I've gathered as well in professional wrestling. If you can't talk but you can do every move under the sun, it's all well and good. But if you get asked by a promoter to do a 3-minute promo slot and you go out there and just mumble your way for 2 minutes and go and just things like that, is I want to be the full package. So to me, it's all well and good being able to like do a moonsault from the top rope and stuff like that, but if I can't talk, then people aren't going to look at me in a serious way and think, oh yeah, you can wrestle back and just get someone to talk like you can talk as well. So yeah, for me, talking is my weakest point.
Well, here's your moment to improve. Right, let's do it. Dale,
no, don't has do this to me. Please do not do this to me.
Dale has just turned on you. He is now taking Tommy Ryder under his wing, and you are going to cut a 90-second promo on him.
90 seconds.
Go.
I can't do that.
Go on.
You can't do this to me. I didn't come into Siren FM to do a promo on
Will
Dale Mills.
I cannot
turning on me.
You've turned on Diamond Dale Mills. You've turned your back on me. I've given you all the advice in the world. I've made you what you are today, but you've gone and turned. You've gone and joined the agency again. You left them for me. Your career, it improved tenfold, but you've gone back to Manson. I'm devastated. Will Cruz, my new boy, Tommy Ryder, is going to take you out at Cleethorpes. See you there.
It's nothing personal, just business.
That's it. That's what I've got to put up with.
Well, no, but yes, I am. All joking aside, and as much as I don't want to do it, it is something I do need to improve on. And for me, it's a big confidence thing, and it's the same as believing I'm 6 foot or believing I'm a wrestler. I think it's just believing that I can cut a promo on anything. Because obviously coming from a contact sport in rugby, I mean, I played against England in the 20s on Tuesday night. So coming from a contact sport, it's just a thing of, oh, I'm not actually getting hit, so how do I sell it when I'm used to being hit? And it's just the same as talking. Oh, I'm talking about a make believe thing. So in my, it's just getting that out of my head and just like, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I need to talk about, etc., etc.
Let's move things over then to talk about the upcoming events for Fight Factory Wrestling. One of the events that's coming up in a few weeks' time is Homecoming. Can you guys remember what date that's on?
The 21st of May at South Highcombe 1NK, I believe.
The first time at this venue?
Yes, it's not the first time we've been at the venue because we've had Body Slams Cancer there, but it is the... 1NK will now be classed as our home show due to unforeseen circumstances at the old venue. So yeah, it's a bigger venue. So really looking forward to it, and obviously Homecoming, what a great title for a first show, and hopefully we go in with a bang.
Yeah, some awesome names on the card. You know, Nathan Cruz, Robbie X, Dutch is going to be there. Joey Osborne is back
from his suspension, yes.
And I'm looking forward to that because I'm going to be speaking to Joey just like I am yourselves on that day. So I'll be coming along for that one. Doors open at 1:30. Show starts at 2 o'clock. And it's £10 per adult and £5 for a child. A great afternoon out. No better way to spend your Sunday afternoon.
No, it is. I mean, it's... is entertainment for everyone, like we previously mentioned. It is a great way to spend your Sunday afternoon. The kids love it, and obviously the hardest thing I've found is it's not getting the kids involved, it's getting the parent who brings the kid a lot involved. So obviously if we can get the parents enticed in what's happening, then we've done our job to the best we can. If we can make those parents believe that we are actually doing what we're doing, or we're talking about whatever, that's the main thing.
And what other events are coming up after that one?
Well, sorry, just to cut you off, just before that one, we're at Cleethorpes on the 19th of May at the Beachcomber. Tyson T-Bone set to appear, a WWE UK star. And I think he's currently touring with WWE at the minute around the UK. Matt Myers, who is the NGW Undisputed Heavyweight Champion, is set to appear. And obviously we've got the usual pros in Dutch, Dale Preston, Tommy Ryder. Lana Austin is scheduled to appear.
That video is still going viral of her and Jeff the Ref.
Don't even talk to me about it. It's just frustrating, that video.
Why is it frustrating?
Just Jeff the Ref. I mean, us wrestlers trying to do our best to get out there and then the referee goes viral.
I was going to bring this up because you mentioned earlier, you said that you were called out on the fact that when you were a referee, you were getting some of the attention. Jeff's the biggest culprit of them all.
So I couldn't understand why Dale was having a go at me when I was refereeing, but after being in the ring and being a wrestler, just seeing that video go viral, it is the most frustrating thing ever. Because if you ever speak to Jeff, it's like talking to a window. You might as well talk to yourself. And it's nothing against Jeff. Like, I love Jeff to pieces, but it's just frustrating. I can't believe it.
Jeff.
He's even got his own fan section.
I know.
I don't even have my own fan section. What am I doing wrong?
You got me.
Don't have posters or signs.
Jeff, don't listen to Will. You're welcome on this show anytime. We'll have a conversation. We'll talk about it.
You can try and have a conversation with him.
And there's another one coming up on the 23rd of June as well. It was announced a couple of days ago, actually.
Yes.
Mass Effect, and that has Impact Wrestling star Bram.
Yes, it does. That's another... I think, did you say that's in June? Yeah, that's next month, that one. But yeah, I mean, having someone of that caliber, I mean, a current TV star on a show, it's amazing.
And it just goes to show that how good Fight Factory is.
Definitely.
Like being able to draw the caliber of athlete like Bram, like T-Bone, you know, like Joey Osborne.
Yeah, Laurie, Robin Lakeem.
Yeah, I was gonna say Robin Lakeem and Laurie are also
too cool. Too cool being on a show.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that these guys, you know, want to come to Fight Factory Wrestling just shows how great and what big strides that Fight Factory is making.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, people want to come. Two lads flew themselves over from Spain.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
just to appear on an academy show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because they'd heard such good things about Fight Factory Wrestling. And they were bonkers. They were loco.
Yeah, they were crazy.
They were, but, you know, they wanted to come over. They wanted to come and wrestle at Fight Factory Wrestling. I think that's a great testament to the work that Becca and Hayden have put into Fight Factory. Now, if it wasn't for those two, we wouldn't be sat here now talking about how great Fight Factory Wrestling is. It's only great because of the groundwork that they've put in. You know, these guys have taken the ball and run with it. Your Will Cruises, your Brett Myers, Chantel, Tommy, Ed, Draco. But they've been given the platform
to perform.
Yes, and the love and care and attention to be able to do it.
It is amazing.
Yeah, Fight Factory has really sort of entrenched itself in the community of Lincoln. You know, we see the posters up everywhere. There's still posters up from the last event outside our studio now. And it's just complete. People now know who Fight Factory Wrestling are in such a short period of time. The community has sort of taken it under their wing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and to be fair, the rate that they're going, like they've just opened the gym, and the rate of the shows are drawing. You know, the sky's the limit, really. They could go as far as they want to go with it. And as long as, like, people, like the guy that said that, you know, he's a big lad and he wants to come try, if he's local, come down. you know, anybody that wants to try it, come down. Come have a go.
And they've got the kids' classes as well.
Yep, yeah, just started kids' class.
Very successful. I actually helped Hayden coach the first kids' class, and just the turnout what we got is, it's amazing, and already parents are signing the kids up for the next six-week course in 6 weeks' time, obviously, so it's just amazing, like, the impact what Hayden and Becca and Fight, like, obviously with Fight Factory Wrestling's had on Lincoln's community, it is. So from when they first started to now, the incline has just been, it's been amazing. And no, yeah.
Can only get better.
No, exactly.
If they carry on the way they are doing, then, you know, like I said, the sky's the limit. Guys keep coming through the doors, keep training. You know, the next generation of wrestlers, like I said before, you know, it used to be a pipe dream getting big and better and going to America or Mexico or Japan or wherever. But it's, you know, it's within
slowly
people's
becoming
reach
a reality
now. And, you know, once, you know, these guys all get to a level like Will, Brett, Draco, Ed, all get to that stage, we're going to need the next generation of guys, the next Will Cruz, the next Draco, the next Ed, you know, the next guys want to come through. And the fact that they're doing these kids' classes and instilling the confidence and the camaraderie and the family feeling to it, you know, as long as it continues like that, then, you know, sky's the limit.
Now, Will, you're only a year into your career as a professional wrestler. You mentioned that it wasn't always your dream to be a professional wrestler. Is it now your dream to carry on and do this?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, since walking through that door for my first training session, I have fell in love with professional wrestling. I don't know how to phrase it, but it is. It's so. What's the word?
Contagious.
Yeah.
The feeling you get from it. Even, I mean,
We went to a show on last Saturday, and it wasn't a Fight Factory show. It just happened to be another. I think it was a Southside show actually, and just watching the guys do their thing, and it just makes you want to be on the show. And it's just the feeling you get from like performing, and it's amazing. And yes, being a professional wrestler is what I want to do now, and it's hopefully it will.
So what's the big goal then? Is it like the WWE, or is it Japan, or is it just touring the indies of the UK
just
and Europe?
Just traveling the world and
lies. If anybody answers that question, it doesn't say no. WWF or WWE World Champion.
Obviously,
because that's what I thought when I started.
Obviously, it would be nice to be the first English WWE heavyweight champion. I don't know if there has been a UK guy on the top. I know
not yet.
I know there has been a UK guy, someone from the United Kingdom on top. But I don't think there's ever been a British guy. So, yes, obviously WWE could be the end goal. But if we were talking about goals, I'd love to be a member of the Bullet Club. Like, just for me, just being able to throw a two sweet up there and actually being a legit Bullet Club member, that'd be awesome for me.
And you're currently the Academy Champion here at Fight Factory Wrestling. You got the you got the European Championship, like, in your sights?
Yes, that would be. I'd love to be able to be the face of Fight Factory. Obviously, being the Academy Champion is great, and can't thank Hayden and Becca enough for the opportunities they've given me and have given me. But yeah, I would love to be the face of Fight Factory Wrestling, holding that European title or the British Heavyweight title. That is something I do aim for in Fight Factory Wrestling. Yeah,
or all three at the same time.
And finally, Dale, so there's still no chance that you're going to be able to be convinced by Becca and Dutch to come back and do a little bit of commentary. Mm. You know, body slams, as they say, you can't say no to charity.
I can, and I will. No, I am fully retired as far as getting through that curtain and performing. But I really enjoy helping out, and I hope that the Academy guys, you know, enjoy me going there and helping them out, and they take something from it. If they take one thing from it, in my entire time that I go down to help, I'll feel like it's been worth going. I could go 1,000 times, and if someone says to me, I really like that, just the once, and it's just one person, then I feel like it's been worth going down there.
Well, thank you very much to you both for coming in and speaking to me today. I know you've got to rush off to get to your
training.
The show never stops. We are the European Uppercut Podcast. I'd like to give a big thank you to Siren FM for lending me the studio. I work hard enough here. I can use it. I'm going to cut that bit out. So thank you very much to Will Cruz, to Dale Mills, and we'll speak to somebody else from Fight Factory Wrestling on this series very, very soon. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Bye.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the European Uppercut Podcast. A big thank you to Will Cruz, to Dale Mills, and everyone down at Fight Factory Wrestling. As you may have heard in the interview there, if you caught it, if you were listening carefully enough, I do have another one of these coming up in a couple of weeks' time, where I'll be able to sit down at the next Fight Factory event with Joey Osborne to talk all about his career, what he's been up to the last few months over in the States, and what he's got planned for the future. That's going to be a very exciting one for myself. I hope you're enjoying these. If you want to get in touch, it's at the EU Pod on Twitter or at European Uppercut Podcast on Facebook. Keep sending in all your messages and check out the regular panel version of this show with all the great contributors and co-hosts that we have. We're going to try to get them out a little bit more regularly than we have been over the last few weeks. But whatever you're up to, make sure that you come back next week for the European Uppercut Podcast.